Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Help for HD News Channel. This is Melissa Biliardi, and tonight you may listen live by calling in to these two phone numbers, 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. Press 1 to listen to the show. Please tell all your colleagues and friends, family, about Help for HD News Channel. Click follow on the show page to get email reminders of upcoming news. We are literally at 17,000 listeners now. So thank you for your support and interest in Help for HD programming. Huntington's disease. HD is a fatal hereditary brain disease. Children of an HD parent have a 50% chance of getting it too. Huntington's is an autosomal dominant gene mutation on chromosome 4, which means that it does not skip generations. Juvenile Huntington's disease, JHD, is more virulent and devastating with seizures, dystonia, and many other horrible and painful manifestations. Genetic testing is considered usually when a person presents with family history and symptoms, which could be psychiatric, cognitive, and or movement disorders, or all of the above. Although a small percent of spontaneous cases do occur, about 1 in 10,000 people in the U.S. are diagnosed each year, with another 200,000 at risk or more. If that's true for the rest of the world, that's about 1.4 million people in the world who are diagnosed with HD each year. Tonight, we have a few great characters in the house tonight. It's going to be a fun show. You get to meet an incredible young man, Matt Austin, and his uncle, Adam Austin. They will be setting out on a ride of their lives in a two-part bicycling adventure, a legacy journey. Starting on June 27, they will be traveling from New York to Massachusetts, then from California to Colorado. Robert Ritberger is producer, director. He's with us tonight. He will be filming their story, A Ride with Matt. You may have seen it on Facebook already. They will be donating proceeds of the documentary directly to HD Clinics and Dr. Jan Nolte's research at UC Davis Stem Cell Program. So welcome, you guys, tonight. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Oh, say hello. Thank you for having us.
So, Matt, welcome. And when did the idea of the ride first come to you?
About eight months or so ago, I was sitting out there, I got a call from Adam, and, I think he was the one who really, really started the idea of it, and I just got a random text from him saying, hey, you know, would you be interested in taking, like, a bicycle ride out to see the country like him and Papa did, and him and his brothers mm-hmm. did when they were kids, you know, to go out there and just go out there and adventure and explore and, you know, go across the country on bicycles. And I was excited about it, you know, when I first heard of it. You know, I was really, really, really thrilled about the concept. And I, you know, it was kind of like on and off. It wasn't really a legitimate thing for a while, and it was kind of just like a text idea kind of thing. But it's completely exploded like a big snowball rolling downhill and gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and now we have an amazing crew, and now it's a whole documentary. It's just amazing.
That's great. It sounds like you're pretty pumped up.
Yeah.
That's exciting. So so you're feeling good now. Now, I'm concerned about fatigue for you. Now, do you have a plan to address that when you're out there?
Well, we have a nutritionist on board with us. We've got a whole team of good people, and I've been doing a lot of training myself. I ride from my house. I go all the way out to the gym every morning. It's 10 miles. I'll do another 10 miles on the bike at the gym, and then I'll ride home. So I get at least 30 miles in a day. So, and I've been doing that for the last 6 months or so. So I'm not too worried, you know. I believe anybody can overcome anything as long as their mind and heart are right, you know?
Inspirational, for sure. You're going to have to consume some calories, I think.
Yes, ma'am. currently, I eat about 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day.
Yeah, with all that activity, I should hope so.
Yes.
Good for you. Adam, welcome to the show. And you are Matt's uncle?
I am, in fact.
tell
legally,
us a,
actually.
A
I think it's
story
actually somewhere
you,
on
yeah.
paper. My family, we came to know that we had Huntington's in my family in the 70s. Before that, no one really knew about it existing in our family. My dad was approached by my uncle, and he had gone to see a number of doctors who diagnosed him with Huntington's. And he approached my dad and said, this is what I have. I think our dad had it, who was put into a mental institution when they were 7, 8 years old. And he said, I think you have it also, of which my dad did not respond very positively about, as one could expect. And as it turned out, from what they did, the research they did, they did figure that my grandfather had it, although he was never diagnosed, and he ended up dying in the Willard State Mental Institution in upstate New York. So that began our odyssey with Huntington's. And my dad survived with it for 20 plus years, of which he spent the last years of his life in a VA hospital, and of which his brother, as it turns out, was in the same VA hospital just down the hallway.
Wow.
My uncle died before my dad, and my dad died, I believe, a year after that. So,
That was before the genetic testing was available, so.
Yes.
There wasn't much known, right?
There wasn't a whole lot known about it. There was my dad saw a team of doctors up at the U of R, and they were at that time the U of R was kind of on the forefront of Huntington's disease. There were certainly people there that were seeking out what caused it and trying to chase down where it all rooted from. And it was, I'm trying to think the exact date. I guess the first time we really kind of noticed that my oldest brother, Andy, Matt's dad, had Huntington's was actually at his wedding, although none of us wanted to admit it. My brother Aaron, he knew. I suspected, but I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us did. And so we kind of, like many times with Huntington's and many families, you kind of just pretend it doesn't exist, and and so we did. The last thing we wanted to see is that, manifest in a sibling, let alone admit that it's passing on to another generation.
Mm-hmm. The cruel fact of Huntington's, right? The generational.
Yeah, it's unkind to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
That's an understatement. But Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You had something.
Oh,
to
not say. At all. I was just going to, say I really haven't known much of a life without having Huntington's in it.
Mm-hmm.
We were so young when my dad was diagnosed, and he was symptomatic before he was diagnosed. So I grew up with it being just part of what our life was. I never knew really anything different.
Mm-hmm. So that's why you want to donate to research and to HD clinics to help other people?
Certainly that is a driving force about it. A lot of it has to do with kind of making up for lost time, for time I missed out on with my dad and with my brother. And I mean that because the shame that I had
for my dad having it and no one understanding it or a little small town.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just feeling like I didn't do enough for my brother. And so mm-hmm. we spent, you know, so much time pretending it wasn't affecting our lives and just to survive.
Right.
Trying the to chaos be that was...
right.
That I want to take this opportunity now to be really forthright about it, like acknowledge mm-hmm. it, address it, be active in the time we have with Matt, to be honest. I don't want to miss out on me knowing him mm-hmm. and him knowing his dad. Because, you know, Andy, you know, took his life when Matt was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know the man that I idolized.
Wow. That's a heart-wrenching story. So why now, though, Adam? Why such, you know, this is an ambitious endeavor, a quest, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It is a quest, I think, more than anything. It's a quest to show Matt the kind of adventures his dad would go on and inspired my brother and I to go on, my brother Aaron. And also, one of the few things I remember my dad, you know, telling me that really had an impact was, he said, I hope you go out and see the world like I did. I got a chance to through the Navy. He goes, you don't have to join the Navy to do it, but he said, I hope you get out to go see the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've traveled through almost every state. I've been lucky enough to have a job that takes me all over the world. You know, working in the film business and the job I have, unique what I do allows me to travel from, you know, Brazil, Prague, Dubai, all over the U.S., Canada. I'm sure I'm forgetting places I've been to. but I want to go on an adventure with Matt, like I went on adventures with my brother.
It's an awesome, awesome quest. So now we have Robert. He's going to film for you.
Yes.
Welcome, Robert.
Thank you.
So tell us, Robert, how will you be doing the filming for this adventure?
Yeah, so the filming is a bit tricky, only because there's a whole ride that has to, you know, be taken, that has to take place and is a kind of a mission in itself. So what we've done is really just kind of put together a bunch of cameras, a bunch of kind of support so that we can just catch the intimate moments from as close as possible without interfering too much with what's going on. So there's been a ton of prep work, but it gets to a certain point where, you know, we get everything going and we just kind of let it go and, you know, let the trip unwind on itself. But we're really going for, you know, the utmost quality here. And so we put together a really, really strong team. You know, Adam works in the camera department on all the largest action films, all the Spider-Man films. Mission Impossible 4, and is, you know, out on Iron Man 3 right now. I just finished a documentary that got picked up by the online version of the New York Times, and so
cool.
Yeah, so we're really, really going for a documentary about Huntington's that really confronts all of these sort of universal things that we deal with, of facing death, of going through loss, illness. Kind of coming together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about Huntington's, but we're also really kind of reaching out to a national and international market for it.
Very cool. Well, listen, can we take a quick break, and we'll be right back with some more information. I want to talk about your itinerary and some other things. So let's take a quick break. Is that all right with you guys?
Of course.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Take a quick break there. And we're back with Matt, Adam, and Robert. They are setting out on an adventure. A Ride with Matt is going to be filmed by Robert Ripberger. And Adam, you know, we were talking in the screening room real quick there, and could you just share with our audience what you and I were talking about and what we were talking about in the screening room about being bold about Huntington's disease?
It's been the only life that I've known is a life with Huntington's. And so, you know, I found out at a very early age that I was at risk. So it shaped my perspective on life dramatically. And I don't think I'd be the person I am today or would have lived the life I have had it not been the knowledge of having Huntington's in my family and knowing that, you know, it's kind of a roll of the dice with everyone in the family, you know, and it's not even, it's the odds are much worse than that. It's 50-50. I mean, it doesn't get much more, like, cut and dry than that. And I don't think that I would have taken the chances I've taken as far as goals and dreams and adventures and, it's had many positive influences on my life to have that knowledge. Mm-hmm. As I was saying, like Matt had mentioned, that it's made him grateful for things he does have in his life and the things he gets to do from this point on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a lot of opportunities in life for you to do something truly unique. I mean, there are, but very few people take that step to do something outside themselves for other people. I mean, really, to let it all hang out, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what he's doing. Had he not had this knowledge,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
who knows what he would have done with his life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the thing that he seems to have embraced is, what am I going to do with my life from this point forward?
Right.
And mm-hmm. and few people do that in life, who are perfectly healthy and don't have anything, mm-hmm. you know. A lot of people just, you know, they go through their day-to-day as opposed to saying, like, this is my day today. I get, this is a one-ticket ride. What am I doing with my ride today?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a quality perspective. Like, what quality of life am I going to have with the time I have? It's something we should all think about.
Right.
But there's few occasions that really push us to look at life that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I can chime in on that, too, That really for me was, you know, the sort of essence to the project. And Melissa, you know, we've talked before, and I told you, you know, 3 months ago I was completely, I knew very, very little, if anything, about HD. You know, have no HD in my family, and completely new to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And when Adam and I started talking about this project and what it would come, how it would come together and what it would look like, and really kind of when I made the final decision that, you know, this is something to embark on, it was really that. It was, you know, as an outsider, it was seeing this community, seeing these individuals, kind of, you know, staring death in the face, but at the same time having so much life come out of that.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting how when you're first introduced into this world, this HD world, it's quite an eye-opener. And then once you kind of get into it, you realize that there's a whole community of warm, engaging, creative, smart, intelligent people.
Yeah.
And that have stories to tell, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, you have a never-ending story here to tell.
Mm.
And that's what I found with the community. It's a wonderful, warm, loving, concerning, you know, group of individuals that deserve to be noticed and taken care of.
Yep.
So, doing a great job. I'm happy to have you on the show. And let's talk about your itinerary.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So what's happening?
So it's the whole trip is a 1,500-mile ride down the east and west coast. It starts very, very soon. We have a kind of fundraising event in Rochester, New York. That's June 24th. And then from there, we start off in Palmyra, New York, where Adam and Andy and family kind of grew up. And they're doing a 400-mile ride from Palmyra to Tangsboro, Massachusetts, where they're going to end up at a family reunion.
Nice.
And then from there, we're taking a little bit of a break. Adam's working on Iron Man 3 and doesn't finish up until mid-October. And then we're going to do the West Coast portion, and the West Coast portion will be from San Francisco to Colorado. Adam, do you want to talk about the significance of Colorado?
Colorado is where Andy left after my brother Andy dropped out of Vassar College, probably when he started first becoming symptomatic. He was having a hard time focusing on his studies, and he was an exceedingly intelligent man, and also very athletically gifted in the arts too.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't, he couldn't focus. So
mm-hmm.
he went up to Vermont for a while, worked at a ski resort, built log cabins, and then went up to Colorado to work at ski resorts there. And so I started hearing these stories from Colorado that just sounded magical. that it was the most beautiful place that you could ever possibly want to be. And it inspired me and my brother Aaron both to eventually go to Colorado. Aaron went out while he was in college to visit Andy for 4 days and came back 3 years later. I followed after they had moved to California, or maybe they may have been come back to New York at one point. And I dropped out of college, bought a motorcycle, and the first place I've been dying, I was chomping at the bit to get out there. And so Andy and Aaron had both said, you know, there's this place, Aaron said, that Andy took me to show me the Rocky Mountains. And they both said, this is the first place you have to go to when you get there. And Aaron, like, spoke of it as if, you know, he had seen heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then so, you know, at just that for my 19th birthday, I traipsed across country on a motorcycle, which I'd never even ridden on a motorcycle 2 months earlier. I got into Boulder, Colorado, where they had both lived, and went promptly up to Brainerd Lake to the Indian Peaks Wilderness. And it's the lake is at 10,000 feet, and you're coming through all these, like, alpine pines. And all of a sudden, there's the Indian Peak Wilderness, like, unfolds out of the trees. And it's magnificent. It's still to this day, I talk about it, and it's a very emotional place for me. More so because when Andy passed away, there was never any doubt where we were going to put his ashes. They were going to go to Colorado, and they were going to go to the Indian Peaks Wilderness. Aaron and I were just like, "Bet that's just it's a no-brainer." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that story of just taking his ashes up there is like an epic Disney tale unto itself. So the whole idea of going to Colorado is to show Matt this place that his dad cherished and loved, and inspired us to go adventure and see Colorado too. And it's a place that he would like Matt and his brother Michael to see. And so that's why we're going to go there, and also to that's where his dad's ashes are. That's where somewhere up in those mountains, he's there.
That's where his spirit is.
Yes, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
And so it's a place that, that sort of bookends the whole trip. You know, we start off in Palmyra where Adam and Andy grew up, you know, kind of taking Matt and along this whole ride, and then we end up in Colorado where Andy's ashes were spread.
Now, what about aren't you going to have a concert? Did we talk
That's
about
right.
that already?
We're having a benefit concert just before the start of the ride. The ride starts June 27th, kicks off on Main Street in Palmyra, and then the benefit concert is at Nola's Barbecue, and that's in Rochester. That's June 24th.
Okay, so you guys have already done some fundraising events, right?
Exactly.
Prior to this, to kind of get you started, what have you been doing before this to get you going?
Now, we did a kind of fundraiser in Palmyra already. We ran an Indiegogo campaign. We've also reached out and gotten some support from, some corporations. Chevron put in some money. Lundbeck put in some money. We're currently talking with a number of other companies as well. And, you know, really this project is solely funded through, you know, any support we can get. But at the same time, it's also, you know, there's also a lot of opportunities within the project. It's this multi kind of dimensional trip in which there's all these different pathways, not only for awareness, but awareness and advocacy, but also to engage everyone out there. There's all these benefit concerts and events that we're putting on. There's the ride itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tons of kind of PR around that.
Yeah.
And then once the documentary is finished, there's you know, the life of the documentary.
Right. Now let's talk about that. So you're going to finish the documentary, and are you going to be entering it in any festivals, or how are you going to top it off with the documentary?
Yeah, so when the documentary is finished, what we're going to do is, I was just at the HDSA National Convention, and a lot of people were saying, you know, it's so hard talking to doctors, talking to other people about HD. They just don't really get it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's films out there. You know, there's a bunch of YouTube videos that I'm sure a lot of people have seen. That it's hard. It's hard because HD is such a
mm-hmm.
debilitating, you know, difficult disease that it's difficult to make a documentary that also can make it accessible, engaging. And so, you know, what we're doing with the ride is we're really trying to make it kind of lighthearted, you know, very mm-hmm. much giving a thorough understanding of the disease, telling all of these HD stories, but in a more accessible way. And
mm-hmm.
so with that, you know, we'd like it to be a tool in which people can, you know, hand to friends, family,
mm-hmm.
And say, you know, this is HD. We are going to distribute online. Our goal really is to get to television, maybe have limited theatrical where we organize screenings at
mm-hmm.
Different chapters. And let's see, HBO documentaries is one of the other avenues we're currently pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is a project that really is going to be national and international,
mm-hmm.
Not something that's just going to be shelved.
And then proceeds, of course, you're going to be donating to clinics and Dr. Nolte's stem cell program.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Right. Yes, I don't think people realize that, you know, you can donate directly to a clinic. You don't have to go through an organization.
Right.
You can actually go to their website, click on donate, and actually call up what it is that you want to donate to. And in the special instructions, you can say, I want it to go to the Dr. Wheelock's clinic or somebody else's clinic.
Right.
It's really easy to do. And one of my projects is a new website called researchforhd.org, where I will be listing people that are looking for funding, research scientists and clinics who are looking for private funding. And everybody is, by the way.
It's
just not advertised. But that way, you know, 100% of your donation is actually going to go to where it's supposed to go. And on the other end, they sometimes will take, you know, a 6% administrative fee to process and all that. But at least you know when you donate, that money is going where it's supposed to be going. And it's a really good, great way to make your dollars count for something.
Right.
It's also, to have that database and access to a database like that is great because
mm-hmm.
you can donate. You can donate to the area you live in,
mm-hmm.
the clinics that are going to have a direct effect on your life,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know, it going into the ambiguous,
yeah.
You know, galaxy fund where you have no idea what your money is actually
doing.
The black
hole fund.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So,
right. Definitely.
Great to have. So you're putting a database together like that.
Yes. It's a work in progress. It's under construction right now, but I'm in the process of contacting research scientists. And I've had quite a number of them on the show already. So it's just a matter of linking them and making sure I have the correct links to their donation page and that kind of thing. It should take a little bit of time to, you know, make sure everything's running properly. But I think it's something that is long overdue in that most people out there don't really realize that they can donate directly to a research scientist that they choose, you know. And those research scientists are needing our money because, you know, maybe they have a grant, but the grant is only specified for certain things. So if FDA comes and says, guess what, we need another study done, that money has to come from somewhere. And if there's nothing in their fund for that type of, you know, expense, then they're, you know, caught with no progress. So it's really important to know for everyone out there that you can donate directly to the research scientist, directly to the institute that's putting on the, you know, the research, the clinical research or whatever. You can donate directly to your clinic, and, you know, our doctors need discretionary funds for travel, for, you know, instruments. I mean, some of these doctors are buying instruments out of their own income to help our HD people, and that shouldn't happen. That shouldn't be happening. It should come from, you know, funding somewhere.
Yeah, also, a lot of people don't realize, like, doctors that do research don't get paid a lot of money.
No, they don't.
That's a huge miss in the medical field.
And they work day and night, believe me. They are,
well,
like,
yeah,
up.
They live night. Their research.
Yep, they do. They're my heroes. They are the ones who are out in the trenches with us, you know. And so I wanna really support them in any way I can. So anyway, Matt, how you doing, Matt?
Thank you.
You're pretty quiet.
Yeah.
What would you like to tell our audience tonight about why you're doing what you're doing?
Well, I believe there are too many negative Huntington's videos out there, you know? All the sad stories and whatnot. And, I mean, everyone has a sad story of Huntington's, but, I just don't believe it should be that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I change just one person's attitude, that's all that really matters, you know? Out there, changing the world one person at a time, you know? To inspire
yeah.
people. I don't like, you know, there's no goal or dream that anybody out there can achieve, you know? If I can ride the ride I'm doing, if I can do all the great things I'm doing with the Huntington's disease, then there's no reason that someone else can't, you know? There's no reason they can't be out doing what they want, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, it's just,
mm-hmm.
I like helping people. And I love the
well,
idea of
this. You're an
book.
Inspiration, Matt. You really are. And I know that you're going to have the ride of your life. You're going to have a great time with your uncle. And it's going to be filmed. It's going to be a legacy to your work, to your life, to everything about your family. It's just going to be a wonderful thing. So I'm really excited for you. And I'm really happy to be a little teeny tiny small part in it and having you on the show. And let's see. Where can we find you? On Facebook, for sure.
Yes, ma'am. I have a Facebook. We have a website, and I have a personal email.
Okay. And what's your email, Matt?
xxmjasxx@yahoo.com.
Wow, that's a good one. Okay. Can you post that for us? Maybe on Facebook, so we can get a hold of you and tell you.
Oh, yes, I can do that for you. I'll put it up there.
Okay, if that's okay, we'd love to stay in touch with you and see how you're doing. Are you going to be tweeting or doing any
I
kind
don't
of?
Have a, I don't have a Twitter, ma'am.
You don't have a Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, we'll be on Twitter along the way, and
good.
We also have a blog on our website, which is aridewithmatt.com.
Okay, very good.
Throughout the trip.
Very good.
And we'll also, in addition to that, each day we'll put on Facebook and then also on the website, like what our trip for that day is going to be. We have
very nice.
We have these rider profiles that'll show like our route,
mm-hmm.
Elevation changes, mileage,
mm-hmm.
So we'll put that up every day so people can follow along with us. So
right.
A Ride with Matt is not just about us doing this ride. It's about, it's a vehicle to take everyone along.
That's so cool.
To have Huntington's disease have a face. That, like the thing that I keep on reiterating when people ask is like, Huntington's is not a disease. It's people, it's families, it's mothers, it's fathers. And because it's a hereditary disease, we're all connected. Everyone that has Huntington's, we
mm-hmm.
have this connection that is unlike anything I've ever been around. You walk into a support group or you encounter someone else that has Huntington's, there's a connection that you have that is so unique.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been living in the shadows with this disease for way too long.
Amen to that.
And, you know, you encounter people all the time. You say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm doing this project for Huntington's disease. And the first thing you get is, well, what's Huntington's disease? Because
right.
literally, like, so few people really know what it is. And I think a big thing that, you know, Robert and I have talked about is, like, it's not a disease. It's so much more than that. And exposing, like, that there is in the negatives that Matt talks about, people associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
There are also, like, as many stories of hope and triumph that
mm-hmm.
that should be shown and people should know about. And they should know about Huntington's disease and see the faces. There are
well,
people in your community.
We have some friends in the chat room right now, so let me read some of the comments, and I think there might be a couple of questions. So you all know Judy Robertson.
Yes.
She's on listening today. She says, such a common family story, Adam. We're grateful to you and your team for creating this documentary. So, good comment.
Oh, thank you so much, Judy.
Mm-hmm.
It really would
says,
not have been possible without all the help we've had with all the websites and the news and all these kind of people just helping out. You know, it really wouldn't have been able to grow so big. So all this helps a lot more than you guys think.
Yeah. She also says, good to have a goal, Matt. Your efforts build awareness for HD. That's good. Do you have any more questions here? Kimberly Spears. Hi, Kimberly. She says, if he isn't a true inspiration, I don't know what is. Good comments. Let me see what else is here. Oh, Jim Rice is on. He says, best of luck for your ride. Debbie Bowman says, yes, we do. We're happy for you. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's about it for right now. And I think we're getting ready to wrap up. I just wanted to thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and thank Robert, Adam, and Matt, especially you, Matt, for being so bold, and Adam for taking on this challenge. It really is an odyssey and a quest, and we're happy to see you doing it, and we can't wait for the film to come out, and see if we have any other announcements. Just wanted to let everybody know I am working on research for HD.org. It's kind of a labor of love for our researchers and our clinics that need help, and so check it out, and go to the Contact Us page and send me an email. Send me names of researchers that you would like to support or clinics that you would like to support, and help me to build this list, because it's really going to be something for the community to contact them directly and make donations directly. Upcoming show is June 25th, HDVU, Reach to HD, and Prana. This is another clinical trial that is in progress. They're making great progress, actually, and they're going to be back to give us an update, so that'll be great. Again, I just want to thank everybody. This concludes Help for HD News Channel tonight. Robert, Adam, Matt, stay on with me while I log out, and we'll just chat in the screen room for a minute. Thank you, Matt, Adam, and Robert, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in, all of us. I appreciate you in the chat room, people online logging in, and our archive listeners. Don't forget to contact me at helpforhdinternational.org Find us on Facebook, Help for HD to HD View. Come back and listen to recorded episodes and get the free On the Road Help for HD app at helpforhdinternational.org, or we have a face.org. Don't know if you got that, Robert, the free On the Road Help for HD app, but it is a really beneficial download on your iPhone. Also available on the app, the original mobile connection to education resources and information about JHD and HD. Good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you on Monday.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, everybody.
That you settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you. Couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I think I'll remember you. Couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you next Monday. Love you.